So Dr. Emma Wells is an ecclesiastical and architectural historian currently writing a book on the world's great cathedrals, including Notre Dame. Dr. Emma, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
An extraordinary building, and anyone could look it up on Wikipedia, 1163, but there's a lot more to it than that.
There is, absolutely. As you say, construction of the cathedral did begin in 1163, but it has seen so many different things happen to it over the 850 years. It was completed initially in about 50 or so, 60 years, the sort of main structure that we see and that we love today, the medieval structure, is essentially at its height was of a Gothic innovation. It is of that sort of skeletal structure with its great vast 15-metre buttresses and its great rib vaults, which we hope, we think, are still intact at the moment, which have therefore allowed it, the construction, to sort of remain intact at the moment. But as I say, it's an icon of the Gothic style, of Gothic design, which has witnessed countless acts. I mean, we've seen the renovation then occurred in the 19th century after Victor Hugo's Notre Dame, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And throughout, we've seen, you know, Mary Queen of Scots got married there. Napoleon Bonaparte was crowned there. So, I mean, it's intertwined with Europe's, not only France's history, but Europe's.
And Joan of Arc, of course, she was beatified in the cathedral by Pope Pius X, and as you said, Napoleon, Henry VI of England, made King of France.
Yeah.
As well as a place of worship, also a place of, you know, big events. And you talked about the architecture. You know, it's very coherent in the sense, I know a lot of craftsmen and builders contributed to the architecture, but it's a coherent design in many ways.
Yes, as I say, it was sort of built within about 60 years with about four architects constructed the Gothic frame that we see still intact at the moment. So we had the construction of the West Front with its very distinctive two towers still standing at the moment. They were begun around 1200. Then we had the nave and then the sort of Western towers, the Rose Window, and the south and the north as well after that. And that was the sort of main cruciform construction was in place by the mid 13th century. And it was only then later that it underwent sort of major alterations, particularly in the 17th century during the reigns of Louis XIV, 15th. And then we had the spire, which is actually the current spire that went down yesterday is 19th century, but there was an earlier 13th century spire as well. So there is little sort of at the top left of the original 12th and 13th century structure, but its sort of skeleton is of this sort of 60-year Gothic innovation.
It's all innovation, isn't it? That's the amazing thing about these buildings, that, you know, pre-computers, pre-locked-together scaffold units, pre-theodolites and levels, we had men and women who could design these things, calculate the loadings, get the massive bits of stone chopped up, somehow get them up there and onto other bits of stone. The feat is, you know, it's almost mind-blowing if you think this is the 1100s and onwards.
Absolutely. It's a magnificent feat of engineering. And even so, Notre Dame, because the sheer scale of it, I mean, it's a gigantic structure from the 12th century. I mean, it's four stories in height. It was the first to have four stories in height. And that's why we have those huge, you know, 50 metres flying buttresses, because they were required in order to carry the load, the weight of the load downwards and away from the main structure, so it didn't essentially, you know, fall in on itself. And then we have these huge stone vaults for the first time, rather than timber, which have been a godsend in this respect. So it really was a sort of Gothic innovation. It also allowed for this sort of cage of stone. We'd seen previously the sort of Romanesque and in England the Norman structures, like the big heavy, you know, with smaller windows, and this allowed these Gothic cages of stone allowed for these vast windows, these stained glass windows filled with stories of the Bible to convey to, you know, to those visiting the cathedral.
What's really, well, amongst so many things about Notre Dame, I find it very moving as a building, as a space, but it's still, if you like, a working church. It's not just a monument to maybe the Catholic Church history or its place in France's history and culture. Mass is still offered on Sundays. Baptisms still happen there. It's somewhere where locals in Paris go to worship.
Yes, absolutely. And also, as you say, it's a focal point for Catholicism in France. You know, it's an active Catholic church, and it has been for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, it's the most popular visitor attraction in Paris. It beats the Eiffel Tower. And at the same time, it's also an active place of pilgrimage, has been for the last, you know, 800 or so years. We have the relics in there, which we've heard have survived, but you know, we have the true cross in there, we have the nails, so you know, these are extremely important artifacts, and we have, you know, manuscripts in there and jewels, which you know, some of the most important assets to our past.
Would you say the Queen is expressing sadness as to what happened, and the Pope as well expressing shock and sadness? It's a building too that I know Paris wasn't bombed severely in the Second World War, but it survived any bombing.
Yes, it did. It was very lucky to survive any major destruction during the two world wars. But that doesn't mean that it hadn't experienced sort of destruction or plunder previous to that. Sort of the French Revolution's late 18th century, that's when it sort of witnessed much more of this occurring, when a lot of these sculptures, the treasures, the stained glass were plundered, were replaced. The glass, for example, was replaced with clear glass, as that was what was in vogue. That was what was fashionable at the time. These huge, vast swathes of just plain, rather than the sort of jeweled, you know, blues, greens that we think of, that we think of today. This was all gone in favor of these just very plain original glazings. So we actually have sort of little, you know, bits of the original glazing in the rose windows, but it's those that we need to conserve.
Now, President Macron has said he has vowed to rebuild Notre Dame. It was undergoing renovation anyway, and I think the cost then was estimated to be nearly $180 million. Is there any doubt, though, in your mind, and I know a couple of families have come forward pledging funds, that it would be complicated given the architecture involved, but there will be some will to get Notre Dame back?
I should think so. I suppose the first thing to look at is, how bad is it? Is it a salvageable structure? Although the main sort of skeleton is still intact from what we have seen, that doesn't equate to a structurally sound building. So that needs to be, you know, analysed by the surveyors who will come in next. And it's built over several years too. So it's not only the medieval origins that we need to conserve and preserve, it's the rest of the history throughout, you know, the rest of the fabric throughout the history. But that doesn't mean that it can't be done. You know, if we build, we can rebuild. We've witnessed many losses over the years in our cathedrals, not only Notre Dame. And the silver lining is that it allows us, as, you know, buildings archaeologists or buildings historians, to come in and uncover more of the history than we knew before. So although, you know, conservation or restoration is expensive, you know, there's everything else to think of, health, education, it doesn't mean that it can't be done in such a way.
Yeah. Emma, listen, thank you for your company.